Anybody hot in here? Everybody's good? Good. Good, 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 good. Well, we're coming to the end of a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. And it's been quite a journey through the scriptures on it. And I'm just going to pick a stopping off place. First, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses, I think, 1, 4, and 7. And so if you've got your Bibles, follow with me, and they'll be up on the board in just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It's never good to have something that we don't know. And it's better if we know things. And the spiritual gifts are what made the church be alive. Many times I've been in services where the gifts were moving and the whole church was on fire with the gifts of the Spirit. It's a wonderful, wonderful situation. Now, you can't see Corey right now, but she's got new braces and new contacts. Isn't that great? Get all of that at once? She said, no, it's not. It hurts. But anyhow, I'm going to read that verse in the NIV. I'm going to read that verse. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. See, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. That means there's more than one gift, but it's the same Holy Spirit. Notice the capital S. And put up verse 7. That's the last verse I want to put in right there. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit withal. Now, I'm going to read that verse in this translation. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. These gifts were designed to go along with the service and to minister life into the service. And we have whole denominations that won't allow the gifts. And probably the most controversial is one that many believe is the least, which is tongues, which we're about to get into here in just a moment. But we're not going to go through the ones that we've already gone through, but we're going to look at the seventh gift, which is the discerning of spirits. And I'm going to just read you a little bit. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this message. Somebody in here is going to get something out of this. This gift is a special Spirit-given ability to properly discern and judge prophecies and to distinguish whether or not an utterance is from the Holy Spirit. Toward the end of the age, when false prophets and false teachers and distortion of biblical Christianity will greatly increase, this gift will be extremely important for the church. So we have to realize that. To discern, is something from God? If somebody speaks a word of something in a service, is it of God? And there are those that will judge it. You know, indeed, everybody should judge it. You know, what do you do if you hear something that doesn't sit right with you? I wouldn't digest that if I were you. I just wouldn't digest it. I would not receive it. Anything that doesn't hit you just right, unless it's because you don't know that much about that particular verse or subject, whatever it could be. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of the spirits. See if somebody, you could tell if a person, a lot of times when they come into a flock, you can tell if they're of God and if they're not of God. And you just have to know that. And there's been a lot of things that we've had to deal with over the years. And I'm just going to speak rather freely. We've had to deal with people that were kind of child molesters and stuff like that. We had to deal with that. I had to deal with that. I had to know what to do. What I did was I did that as quietly as I could. But I prayed about how I was going to deal with that. And if somebody, many things, there are many things. Some people come in, they just want to be, they don't want to go with the flow. They don't want to be sheep. They don't want to enjoy a service. They come for ulterior motives. And if you sense something isn't right, if you hear something, if you see something in one of the nurses, be sure to tell Pastor Kelly, tell myself, tell Sam, tell somebody in here that, and we just have to work together for the common good of what we want. We have a vision, all of us, of what we want to happen here. We want to celebrate God when we come here. We want to, experience the Holy Spirit. We want to experience His move. And if we'll let Him, and He will move in a service. Now, probably at the end of maybe to next week, if anybody wants prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. Now, different kinds of tongues. Verse 8 says, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Concerning tongues, meaning language, as a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the following must be noted. Tongues may be an existing spoken language or a language unknown on earth. Tongues of angels, that's in 1 Corinthians 13 and 1. Speaking in tongues. Such speech has not been learned and is often unintelligible both to the speaker and to the hearer. When we hear those things, I've shared with you that I believe, and many believe, that there are two. One is a prayer language, the prayer language of tongues, which I use quite often in my life. I might be listening to somebody and praying in my spirit, praying, and I pray in tongues like that. Something comes up, either I have a word for them or I discern something that's not. Anyway, that's the way those gifts work. And all those gifts, let me say this, the Bible says in one place we read recently that the Holy Spirit gives each person several of these at least. And so just be thinking about that. And the Bible says, earnestly desire certain gifts, okay? Desire the gifts. And pick the ones that you desire, okay? The Word says, especially prophecy, for one thing. Now, tongues is the most, boy, if there's going to be problems in a church, it's going to be over tongues. But you know, the Word says, do not forbid the speaking of tongues. But now, if somebody's going to give a message in tongues, which is different than your prayer language, I usually ask people, if I'm going to use my prayer language in here, why do I even want to do that? Because it gets me in the spirit. And if it's, I just ask people, if that offends you or bothers you, let me know. I won't do that. See, and let me tell you, I have seen, one of the greatest errors I've seen about tongues is this, is when somebody gives a message in tongues. And they go and they give this message, and they act like they don't have any control over it. But we know they do. The Word doesn't teach that. That you don't go into some kind of flipped out zone where you don't have any control of yourself. The Word says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That never changes. I've told people, I've been giving them a word. Some of you probably heard this. I said, I'm going to give you a word. If I get in error any place, stop me. And that's where I'm going to stop the word. You've heard me. Yeah, you guys have heard me say that. Why? Because it's important. Because on one hand, we want the gifts to flow. But on the other hand, we don't want foolishness. We don't want a confusion. For God is not the author of confusion. The word says in a church service that there can be as many as three, maybe four messages in tongues. But that's not like the prayer language that I use when I'm walking around here and trying to get some things going and trying to work with somebody. But that's the eighth gift of the Spirit, which is tongues. Messages, tongues is what it's talking about. And the last gift is interpretation of those tongues. I've interpreted many times. We used to have a time during praise and worship. We'd just stop for a minute, and there'd be somebody that would give a message in tongues. I was one of the people that interpreted many, many times. But all of that, tongues are the least of the gifts. They just are. I read on that, studied on that. There are many that believe that they're just, and we can get so hung up over something, and it's meant to be a blessing. Kenneth Copeland, they asked him, well, Brother Copeland, do I have to pray in tongues? And he said, no. You get to pray in tongues. It's one of the gifts, and I have been in church services where we would lay hands on people and they'd receive. And I did not receive that way. I received at home. And I didn't have anything against getting up and letting people pray for me that I knew, but I got tongues. And I'm going to tell you the one thing that we have to consider if we're going to have any of these gifts. And to do so, I'm going to turn to John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And here it is right here. And this is Jesus before he was glorified, before he was crucified and went through all that he did. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, capital S, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. Now, when we look in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we see where the first outpouring of the gifts occurred. There were all together in one place, about 120 individuals, disciples of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there also. But the word says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost, that was a festival, was fully come, there were all with one accord, they were in agreement, in accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, how does that happen? How does the Spirit give you utterance? Well, you have to get to the place where you flow with the Spirit. You can get in the Spirit through worship. That's one of the great ways. Through meditating on Bible verses, through prayer, you can get into the Spirit. But they were all filled, filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, the Holy Spirit. And you just have to learn how to be in the Spirit. One of the best ways to learn is during praise and worship. And you just begin, you just heart, and you got your hand, you're worshiping God. All of a sudden, you're just there, and the Holy Spirit's there. And then there's an intermingling that happens. And when that happens, that's when the gifts burst forth. I could just be up here talking. I can just meet somebody at a gas station. God will just give me a word for them. And I just give them the word. And like I said, and if I think there's any doubt or if I feel like they're not accepting, I just stop. Oh, it wasn't long ago there was a girl, and she was, I was getting fuel, and she was getting air for her tire. And I heard her, she said, I just don't want to be in a relationship right now. And she was a girl about, sure, how old was that girl? 23, 25, something? Yeah. And you know, and I just heard that, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit got a hold of my spirit, and the Spirit was making something over that. And he wanted to touch that young lady. He wanted to help her. She was new. She just moved down from somewhere. I forgot. But she just moved here. And when she was through talking on the phone, I said, I want you to know I agree with what you just said. I said, I just agree with you. If you don't feel like you're supposed to be in a relationship with somebody, for gosh sakes, let that be enough, okay? And then she just opened up and she said, you know, yeah. She said, I was with him for a certain amount of years. And she said, I was supporting him and working. And she said, I came home unexpectedly one afternoon, and I caught him in an adulterous situation. And she said, I just began to think about that. And the more I thought about that, I just began to feel like, and this girl knew the Lord. She said, I just began to feel like Jesus didn't want me to. And I just, it just did something to me. And, well, bless God. I said, well, that's good. And we talked, and I said, could I pray with you? And she let me pray with her. And I think she had a shirt on that said, pray. I didn't even know that, you know, until she got here to the church. And I said, you know, we have a food program. I said, could you use any food? She said, yes, I could. She said, I'm moving, live with my sister now. And, yeah, we're just getting started with some stuff, and we're sharing the rent. They live somewhere here in the Paris area. But, and what I'm trying to say is, the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit in your life, the Spirit, the Word says, walk in the Spirit. It's an everyday thing. It's not a church thing necessarily. It's not a show thing. It's just the way you live your life. I ask people all the time, almost every day of my life, can I pray with you? Would it be okay to pray? What's the one thing? I love to ask that question. What's the one thing that you'd like God to do for you? And a lot of times, man, they'll just tear up right there. They'll say, well, I've got this going on, or I've got that going on. I prayed for one of our volunteers today, and he's a man that I've known for many years, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, but he told me, I said, how are you doing? I was standing right there, and he was standing up here, and he said, I didn't get the greatest. He said, you know, they were working on something ahead of growth here. And they just found out it was cancer, and they said, "I'm going to have to." And I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to pray before I leave." He said, "I wish you would." I went to another church with him years ago. He was a deacon in a Free Will Baptist Church, and so I prayed with him. And you know what? I asked him, and you know what I found? I don't ask people wait to get them off in a corner in a dark room, or I asked him right out in front. There was a bunch of people there. I said, Larry, can I pray with you? He said, yeah, I want you to. I said, can I lay hands on you? He said, yes, please. And I laid my hands on him, and I rebuked that cancer in the name of Jesus. See? Well, what if nothing happens, Angelo? Well, what if something does? And you know what did happen? He felt like somebody cared. You know, I hate to stand before all of y'all and you feel that I don't care for you, because I love each and every one of you. I really do. I know everybody in this room. I think you're the greatest. And so now to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. Let's go to John chapter 7. You got them verses for me up there, fellas? If you do, if not, I can go to my Bible. John 7, 37 through 39. And on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, If anyone is thirsty, and I've already read this once, but let him come to me. And you know what? As we've done this series, and maybe not have anything to do with the series, if you want a deeper walk with the Holy Spirit, you got to want that. You know, I can tell you, I can remember the day that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we were living in an apricot orchard, Millie and I. And Millie was at school, I think. And I was just at home. But I wanted that. I wanted more to do with the Spirit of God. And I'd seen some things that were miraculous happen. I seen people get healed. I began to go to a church where people were laying hands on people. And I got a hunger for that. I got a thirst for that. I wanted that. And next Sunday night, if there's anybody here that has a thirst for that, if you're thirsty, and the word says, and listen to this, let him come to me and drink. Now, this little booklet talks about that. Come and drink. Listen to this. Notice that Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus did not say, let him come and shout. And see, I've seen all kinds of crazy things that weren't scriptural. And they were trying to get something to happen in the Spirit. And he didn't say, let him come and pray. He didn't say, let him come and sing. He didn't say, let him come and sweat. He didn't say, let him come and praise. He didn't say, let him come and prostrate himself and go away empty. And I've seen that too. I've seen everything under the sun. Jesus said, let him come and drink. Now, if you're interested, listen to the next few minutes of this. Jesus is using water as a type of the Holy Spirit here. This is Brother Hagin's book. I got a bunch of them going here. Did you ever see anybody drink water with his mouth shut? No. You can't drink water with your mouth shut. You can't drink the Holy Spirit with your mouth shut. You have to open your mouth. So if we're going to do this right, if somebody wants, we could do it right now. If anybody wants to receive the Holy Ghost that hasn't had, we'll pray right now. And if you're thirsty, and if we meet the requisites, next, how long does it take you to drink when you're thirsty? You just pick it up and drink it, don't you? Jesus said, come and drink. How long do you have to wait before you can drink? You don't have to wait to drink, and you don't have to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I have seen a lot. Well, people tarry and they say, do this and do that. And they can poke at somebody and try to get them going one way. But see, that's not what it says to do. See, if you're thirsty, if you want that, if you desire the baptism, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses close by and all over the world. The baptism of the Holy Spirit enables you to be a witness like nothing else. when I became a witness, it totally changed my life. And what did it change? Man, it made me somebody. I was a soul winner after that. I'm looking for souls, man. Anybody that I see that I don't know, if they're not careful, if I get a chance, I'm going to try to get them saved. And that's important. That's the way the gospel is. Come and drink. Okay. A woman in one of my meetings said, Brother Hagin, my mother has been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 19 years. You mean she hadn't drank anything for 19 years? Okay. Just as soon as this meeting is over, I'm going to visit her and share this teaching with her. When I returned to her church the following year, I asked her, whatever happened to your mother? She said, well, she said, I phoned and told her I was coming. It is 150 miles to get to her house, and I had to get back the same day in time to get supper for my husband. And as we drove up in her driveway, she ran out the car to see the grandchildren. The three of them piled out of the car, and I got out. I said to her, Mama, I don't have a lot of time. I've come up here to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said, now, honey, I've been seeking the Holy Spirit a mighty long time. I said, yes, I know, 19 years, but I didn't come to seek with you. I came for you to receive. Okay. All right. Yes, but I've been seeking. Yes, but I don't want you to seek, I told her. There is no use in seeking the Holy Spirit. He's not lost. He's right here. We went into the house, and I said to her, now, Mama, sit down right here. She sat in a large chair in the living room, and I got her Bible from the table beside her and sat on a stool at her feet and pointed out from the book of Acts how they received the right way by the laying out of hands and spoke with tongues. And I said to her, now, Mama, I don't have a ministry to do this like Brother Hagin and others have, but I'm going to lay my hands on you, see? And these signs shall follow them that believe, not the ministers. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. And they will pray with other tongues. And they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And if they eat anything deadly, it won't hurt them. And they'll tread on serpents and snakes. And what that's talking about is evil. They'll tread on evil. Okay? Open your mouth now and get ready, because when he comes, I want you to speak out what he gives you. Now, that might sound like, oh, my God, how's that going to happen? You know, I was so thirsty by the time, and I was in my house. And you can do it in your house, or you can do it in God's house right here. But you got to do it the right way. You got to come to drink, not to seek, not to roll on the floor and play dead and act like an armadillo that's been hit by a dadgum freight truck. No, you got to relax and drink. Does everybody know how to drink? Sure you do. Have you ever been thirsty? Boy, there's been times in my life I have been thirsty. I could get thirsty right now, and I'm glad that I got this bottle. It's still a little bit cold. Oh, my gosh. Now, watch this. I'm going to drink. Watch this. Drink. Let him come unto me and drink. Think about that. When you go home tonight, read John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And let me see exactly what that means, Lord. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you can receive them all by yourself. Okay? Now, open your mouth now and get ready, because when he comes, I want you to speak out what he gives you. She said, I laid hands on her, and she started talking in tongues. Within 10 minutes after I got there, she was speaking in tongues, and she had been seeking for 19 years. Either you're going to speak or you're going to seek. Let me tell you, seeking ain't going to help you. Speaking is what you want to do. Just remember that when you get in the room, you get out in your car, just remember, just open your mouth and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I want the Holy Spirit. I'm thirsty. And then just open your mouth. And it'll just come. It'll just come if you're ready. If you're born again and if you're ready. Okay? You can help others the same way this woman helped her mother. You can do the same things I do in my meetings. I do them because the Lord appeared to me in a vision in 1950 and said, I have given you a ministry of laying out of hands. Before you lay hands on them, always read or quote Acts 19:6 to them. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came and they spake in tongues. Okay? They spake in tongues. Let me just ask you this here, and I'm not going to ask you to come up. Is there anybody in here that's thirsty for the Holy Ghost? You don't have the Holy Ghost like I've described. Let me see if there's anybody in here that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. There's somebody right there. Son, for $30, I'll give you this little book. No. You want this? Are you thirsty? This is the best book I've found in all these years. It's just real short. You want this? You get up and you come up here. I'm going to want all of you to help me pray. I'm going to pray for my grandson that I call my son that I love. I'm going to give you that. I promise you. And look at me. It's like I said, you don't have to be in front of people. You know, some people are, in, you know, just, oh gosh, you know. I've had people tell me, yeah, pray when I, don't leave now. I've got him. They say, well, pray when I'm gone. You know, pray when I leave. You know? Well, what's the sense in asking somebody like that? They're obviously not interested. Well, you know what it is? God knows everything, sees everything, and there's a judgment day for every person. And if a person goes around and they continue to reject prayer and reject the Holy Spirit and reject the things of God, they're going to answer for that. And if they receive prayer and they receive healing and they receive that touch from the Holy Spirit, they're going to answer for that too. Would you help me? I don't love very many people as much as I love this young man. We used to be right over here. Let's go over here, Evan, right now. And I'd be, sometimes somebody else would be up there singing or something. And I'd be right here. And Evan was about this big. And he'd go, Papa, and he'd go like that to me. And I'd pick him up. Oh, my God. I spoiled him rotten, made a rotten guy out of him, man. By the time he was three, he had his first four-wheeler, a little Polaris, and he had his first guns. And, man, I mean, dear God in heaven, I just, but you know, son, I love you. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everything that you've done. And I don't want to hear anybody, you know, I don't want to hear anybody talk about my kids. Somebody was trying to tell me something about Kelly one time. And I had to shut him about three or four times. They said, but you don't understand about it. I said, no, I don't want to hear it. I said, I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to hear it. And you know what? They got plumb upset with me. But you know what? I did not allow them. What if we did that in the church? We just decided anybody that goes to this church, we're not going to let anybody talk about them. Amen? But anyway, I love him, and those that you know, Evan, you love him too. And I'm just going to pray. And what I'm going to pray, Evan, is this. Put your hands up. And I'm just going to pray that sometime soon, and just stretch your hands this way, that you're going to receive. Father, help Evan to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. Lord, according to his thirst, his thirst will be quenched. And just help him, Father. Help him, Lord. I believe that he's sincere in what he says. I've seen a change in his life. I see him chasing after you, Father. So just help him to receive that baptism in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Thank you, Evan. You just, if you want me to, next time I see him, we're out hunting or something, if you want, I'll pray. You'll receive the Holy Ghost. Anybody else have anything want to say about that? Well, you know, it's time, and what we're going to do, we're going to get out of here on time because it don't take me all day long. I'll get to the punchline in a New York minute. I'll wake everybody up in here, get everybody going. So, but what it's time for us to do, we came here to take communion. And you know why? Because there's power. Power in taking communion. And so, how do we do it? We do it the way 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says. It says, let a person examine themselves and then take communion. I'm going to ask you to